Welcome to Freedom Chowtari, a new initiative from Freedom Forum. Today we are going to hear a story from a daughter who lost her journalist father during Maoist insurgency. Trishna Acharya is a daughter of slain journalist Dev Kumar Acharya. Dev Kumar Acharya, also known as D. Kaudanya, he was killed on July 23, 2002 by security officials. After death of Trishna's father, she and her family has suffered a lot. Let's hear a story in her own words, but before listening her story, let's hear what Freedom Forum's colleague Naran Ghimre and Asmita Prokhel have to say about Trishna's story and her family's journey.
Today we are going to talk about the person who suffered much after the killing of her father. Her family suffered much after the killing of a journalist, a vocal journalist. Is a character here, is the person here we have to share her experience. It is about the insurgency period. The insurgency that took place for more than a decade since 1996 in Nepal, that took thousands of lives, including that of the working journalist. Now, so I have my friend Asmita, who talks something more about the persons who is talking here later in this episode about the struggles. But before that, Asmita speaks something or gives some background.
Sure. Thank you, Narayan, sir. The person we are going to talk about is Trishna Acharya, who is the daughter of slain journalist Dev Kumar Acharya, also known as D. Kaudinya. So he was a journalist from eastern Nepal, eastern region of Nepal, which is basically a Tarai belt. And he was affiliated to the then Maoist group, which was a rebellion group at that time against the government. So he was brutally killed by state officials because of affiliation to the political party. So Trishna Acharya was only 10 years old when her father was killed. And according to her, she remembers everything. She has that pain in her, inside her, that she still remembers what her family had to deal during that day. And still, they are struggling in present day as well.
Okay, as Asmita said, of course, the people, thousands of people were killed. They were actually killed by both sides, one from then rebellion Mao side and another from the state army. And this story, or the story she's telling, is about the father who was killed by the state army because he was vocal, it is said. Mm-hmm. Now, can you say something more about Trishna, how you met her and how she got introduced and how she began sharing her story? Can you remind more?
Okay, so I was introduced to Trishna by her mother. Mm-hmm. I had been to a legal aid field visit at Eastern Nepal and I met her mother there, and she gave me her phone number and contact address so that I could meet her and talk to her about her suffering and the incident of her father and family in detail. So I invited her to Freedom Forum. We had a little chat and we developed our friendship from that day. She herself is a journalist student of journalism. Mm-hmm. And she has been pursuing MPhil. Mm-hmm. So she's also a teaching faculty in one of the journalism college, Divya Bhumi. I should mention that she is teaching in a Divya Bhumi college. And after talking to her, I was really surprised. Like, she is such a courageous and brave person who remembers from the age of 10 years, she remembers that how her father was killed, how she and her family received the body of her dead father, and the struggle that they have been facing from that day to till now. So her case is also registered. The case of D. Kaudinya, journalist D. Kaudinya, is registered in Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And after talking to her, we really can see insight from the victim's family that what they have been like, what kind of justice they want from the government side.
Okay, as you said, yes, it is about impunity.
Yeah.
Yes, the impunity related to the crime against journalists. Many journalists were killed. but the some of the family, and some, I think most of families, are still waiting for the justice.
Yes,
the impunity must be ended. They are focusing and they are struggling. And as you said, yes, Trishna, being inspired by her father, listened to her own voice, her own demand, her own appeal to the state, how she describes, how she mentions, it is really appealing and both appalling as well, I think. Isn't it, Asmita?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, let's listen to her.
Just like Nirlajja Kulche Pani Nispikri Sahana Sakcha Jeevan Ko Bato Sahid Mero Pat Pradarshak Bhairayeko Cha Bartaman Le Chile Pani Usko Samarpan Jiudo Paayeko Chu Khulla Akash Ra Dharti Ko Phat Paayeko Chu 2047 Dikodinya. This poem was written by late Dev Kumar Acharya, who was killed during insurgency period. I am his daughter, Trishna Acharya. He used to say, Mrityu nai punarjanma ho, death is reincarnation. By saying it, he was saying, a person with the power of pain, a person with the intellectual potential, a capacity, never dies. His beliefs, his aspirations and his social contributions remains, though physically he dies. But it has proven as an ideal concept of being intellectual or enlightened person in a country like Nepal, where impunity is widely prevalent, criminals are walking free, and intellectuals like journalists, teachers, and many other professions are targeted and killed not only during the insurgency period but also post-insurgency period until now. There is a situation of impunity where such intellectuals are killed. In that scenario, we can see or we can presume the situations of people like Dev Kumar Acharya in a country like Nepal. Constitutionally, we have again a freedom as a fundamental rights, and even a right to live as a dignity has been a very first point of our constitution. Very first article of our constitution says that every citizen shall have a right to live as a dignified human being. But till now, with various kind of social and economic barriers, intellectuals are treated and they are humiliated socially in many ways. And while talking about my emotional journey after his death, is that I was committed to be carbon copy of him. Like, I was committed to be like him, a person of morale, a person with the intellectual potential, and a person who can contribute to his society and nation and can selflessly sacrifice his or her physical body in the name of nation. But later on, I came to know that now when I am standing here in the same field doing a master's in journalism and mass communication, doing MPhil and being in the profession of teaching and sometimes working as a freelancing journalist, I come to know that this martyrdom, this ideal form of human being or the citizen who has a selfless desire to contribute to its society and nations, are treated as a victim who can be slaughtered at any time and to fulfill their political and economic interest. For example, if one journalist is killed, it counts like killing more than 100 civilians, because he has a wide kind of freedom, he is enjoying a power he is enjoying. So if such a person can be killed, then we can be easily targeted. That sort of fear can be easily aroused among the general citizens. So I think martyr freedom has been a factory to sacrifice innocent intellectuals who are selflessly trying to do something in this nation. And it has been used by the cunning politicians who change the system only by the name, not by the actions. So we have seen that since the democracy, the first democracy we got in 2007 VS. If I talk about the post-conflict social psychology and trauma that we conflict victim have, or we the existence of trauma, I think it's not of my generation. It has been traveled throughout the first the generation of first martyrs in this country, because their pain is also not addressed. Their people also did not get any justice. Like, the issue of justice has been used for political motive only. So criminals did their politics, they died, and they got a national salute or respect in their funerals. They were never punished for the gruesome crime they did to come to the political power position. So I think it has remained, that sort of emotional trauma has remained throughout 2-3 generations, we can say. So my journey also remained quite turbulent. I was just 10 years old when my father was killed brutally. I was quite close to him because I was born twins, so that the very first I get birth, I was kept with my father. Maybe that's why also, and I was quite a healthy baby. That's why my little sister was quite close to my mother and I was quite close to my father. I used to listen to his poetry whenever he used to write it. Though we were small in age, he used to share his poetry, his write-ups, and he used to keep us in his lap in his political and social discussions and programs. He used to take us in a different meetings, programs, seminars, conferences. So he never treated us as a child who should be left to play a game or something like that. He treated us as equals. He was a person, I think I often used to say that he was a person of aesthetic, and in my mind, he will always remain as a person of aesthetic. He used to portray his feelings in his poetries. He never used to blame somebody directly, but he used to portray his feelings through different creative writings. For example, he has another poem when he felt he betrayed by the political parties after the reestablishment of democracy, like Khai ke paaye maile nibodha ma ka. हने झण्डा बाहेक शब्दहरू बाँधेर कता घिसारी रहेछ मेरो वर्तमान कसलाई सोध्नु मैले बगाएको रगत त जीवनको लागि थियो मैले बगाएको पसिना त सिर्जनाको लागि थियो ए घोडचडीहरू तिम्रो आँखाहरू माथि माथि नाच्दै होलान् भावनाको प्रवाहमा कता कता बग्दै होलान् तर तिम्रै घोडालाई निहालेका छौ ऊ त न्यानो तबेला र दानाको खोजीमा छ ऊ त बाँच्नकै लागि जिउँदै मरिरहेछ कृपया उसको आकांक्षा र आवश्यकताहरू बुझिदिनुपर्छ पहाड चढ्नु अघि निहुरेर हेर्न जान्नुपर्छ He wrote this in 2047, and this is how he often used his pains, his creativity, his critical ability to see the society, to analyze the contemporary scenario. Like in this poem, whatever he said, that how politicians had betrayed people and how they had betrayed the what we call people's movement, the same way they have done now also. Like many things, like policies have been changed, but still people are suffering. Like we can say that still people are bound to go in a migrant working instead of having employment here itself. They are bound to have an unnatural death in the foreign countries, and where their families still feel vulnerable due to their incapacity to bring even their crops back. So that sort of scenario, what he had said through his creative writing in 20 years ago is still relevant. So I don't think I have faced depression because he was killed in that way or due to that brutality. I think I feel a certain emotional crisis or trauma, like most of the time anxiety and things like that, because the reason why he has sacrificed his life and the why and why he had to die is still there. And I'm quite worried that next generation, maybe I should also have to someday voice for such critical situations through my words and thoughts, and maybe I will also be killed, or maybe next generation will also be suffering. So my depression, my emotional crisis comes from that fear of the continuation of brutality for the same cause. So my conscience, my emotional crisis, my sleepless nights, my tears are not only because of his selflessness to sacrifices. By saying this, I'm not trying to glorify his death. It was crime, and those criminals should be punished. That is my stand. But still, the fear, the emotional crisis, the sleepless night, the reason I don't want to see newspapers, the reason I want to avoid media, the reason I don't want to click pictures with any politicians, is that the powerful, still being powerful, these politicians who has snatched power from the like centuries long royal institution, by snatching that power also, they are incapable to stop the killings of innocent peoples in different regions. People are ready to die not only because they are manipulated. They are people like intellectual peoples who are working as a journalist, or who are working as a professors, who are working in a different intellectual field, are also dying. And they are not dying for a vain, because somewhere in a system there is a vacuum, there is an incapacity to address the what we call injustice, and nation or state, which we take as an umbrella, which we take as safe zone to live as a dignified human being, has a system which still systematically, structurally discriminate certain people. We can say this in the case of Tarai people, where people are still made vulnerable by the system. They are kept uneducated, they are kept unemployed. They cannot take loan from the banks because the value of their land is still unworthy. Like, they cannot start a business by keeping their own collateral. That is the scenario. So I think my emotional trauma comes from there, and maybe that's all I want to say. And I think we all have to focus that our physiological, psychological, emotional, many shades of trauma due to the victimization is not only from the brutality they have shown towards our parents. It also comes from the fear that somewhere still there is a space that some other will also be killed, and same sort of brutality will be there to those people. Hope we all believe in possibilities and potentialities of human being to live as a rational being with peace, love, and respect for each other, being duty oriented. Thank you.
This is the story of Trishna Acharya, victim journalist family. Let's salute her courage and her spirit, where she wholeheartedly tells her story, what her family has been facing since the death of her father. In Freedom Chautari, we will again bring forward such stories of journalist families awaiting justice. I, Swajman Shrestha, is ending this episode, urging the concerned authorities to hear the story and come up with concrete solutions to address the deep-rooted impunity in Nepal.